want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to episode 161 of the Geocaching Podcast, recorded live on July 13th, 2010. I'm your host, XFunkX, with
Daryl W4 and
Head Hard Hat.
If you want to participate on our show today, please call 724-444-7444 and our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with other listeners, and that can be found at geocachingpodcast.com/live. We have a voicemail line, which is 206-3503-GPS. We're on Twitter and Facebook at twitter.com/GCPodcast and facebook.com/GeocachingPodcast. This episode is sponsored by Cache Advance. See cache-advance.com for all of your caching needs. Welcome back, Daryl. It's been so long since we've actually done this live show, and it's been, you know, I missed it last week because of things with my computer crashing and just being super, super busy. I decided to call off the show, and you know, you had a lot going on last week. You were kind of coming back from Geo Woodstock, so welcome back, and it's good to be back here.
Oh, it's good to be back, and actually, this time I was on the freeway coming home from the airport. I was actually out of the airport, though, at 9:10, so I was like, you know, I could have done it. I just, you know, I wasn't quite quite there because we didn't have a talk show set up to do it yet. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, and we're going to be talking a lot about that today. But it's actually kind of cool because today I've got a couple of guests in studio with me. Head Hard Hat and his brother are here.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right.
So, it's pretty cool having a couple of guests for a change.
It is definitely, because normally you're just sitting in that studio over by all by yourself.
Well, Dree's usually here, but she's hiding in back and, you know, staying off the internet so that it doesn't garble the VoIP service too much.
Well, you know, like I said, I didn't get to go to Geo Woodstock, but I was trying to do a bunch of video editing for this video, this wedding video that I shot a couple weeks ago, and my computer's crashed. I rebooted my computer because I thought that it was acting a little funny, and it blue screened on me, and I rebooted and it blue screened, and I rebooted and it blue screened. So quickly scrambled around and put together another PC and kind of did finished editing, but I wasn't quite ready to do the podcast last week because I was just kind of stressed out with after my computer crashing. But you know, like I did say before on the last week's show, or last show that we did, I was going to do a geocaching run in Indianapolis. I hit 108 caches on the Saturday and then 7 on the way back. So total for the weekend, we had 115, which really wasn't too bad for us because we did have, that was definitely way more than we had ever done.
Well, that's pretty cool. You're actually, I think, tied for our best day now.
Yeah, it was fun. And by the end, we were just exhausted and kind of wanted to be home. And, you know, it was nice because we went swimming in my parents' pool and just kind of relaxed the evening. And it was nice.
You know, I think I got to go out and hit like 150 now, just so that I can still hold that over you.
Yeah, that's good luck. I mean, well, yeah, you could probably do it.
Well, I just have to go out and hit one of those new power trails that they built out west, you know?
True. That does look like a lot of fun. Hopefully sometime I'll get out there.
Well, I think that's the only way I'm going to do it, because otherwise it's just a little too much work to do the power caching runs that, I'm only good for about maybe 16 hours before it's like, okay, I just want to go to sleep now.
Yeah, we did ours in 12, and it was cool. It was good. But like I said, by the end, we were definitely tired.
Nice. Well, it definitely helps that that's a nice, good saturation, not necessarily high saturation, but good saturation area that you hadn't even really hit before.
Yeah, that's true. We hadn't been caching in Indianapolis before, so for us, it was all new caches. Anything out there that was fairly easy to find, we could get.
Excellent. You know, we did that big Chicago run that we tried to do. Mm-hmm. They had archived all of the 99 bottle caches, like I want to say it was like the Monday or Tuesday before we got there. So, you know, we had planned this all out. There were like 200 or 300 caches we could hit. And then all of a sudden it went down to like about 100.
Oh, man. Well, that stinks. You know what, Daryl? it's been since we've been off a week. We've got lots of news items, so let's go ahead and cover those.
Magellan released their new tough case for the iOS devices a couple of weeks ago, and this is a case with a battery pack and a GPSR for the iPhone, iPhone 3G, and the iPhone 3GS with all current iPod Touch models. It lists for just under $200, and we'll have some links with information in our show notes. And I do have a review unit and played with it a little bit using both the iPod Touch and my iPhone, but haven't really spent enough time with it yet to make any decisions about the product. So listen for my impressions in a few weeks.
There's been excitement over the release of version 4 of GeoSpeak's ground geocaching app for iOS. This latest version is iOS 4 compatible and adds a number of features, including the return of Google Maps, now an option, photo uploads and logs, dropping of trackables, and notes for caches. Check out our show notes for a link with more information.
Another iOS app received an update this last week. Version 2.3 of Geocaching with Geosphere made its way out of the App Store with several bug fixes and enhancements. This version is iOS 3.1 and 4 compatible, but features some great features like importing attachments directly from Apple's Mail app, which is our iOS 4 specific. Head over to geocachingpodcast.com and click the link for more information on this release.
One last iOS update to mention. Geocaching Buddy version 4.2 was released with updates for iOS 4 and some bug fixes. Of course, you can head over to the show notes for a link for more information.
The location for next year's Geo Woodstock 9 has been selected, and it's heading for Pittsfield, Pennsylvania. The cache page is up for July 2nd event on the Warren Fairgrounds at Waypoint GC2AZ7G.
We want to thank our special guest, Head Hard Hat, tonight for helping us out with the news.
Geocaching question of the day. The bad cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is the bad cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience, and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. Have you ever won anything in a geocaching event raffle? 75% of the lucky geocachers that replied said they have won something in a geocaching event raffle. I myself have won a complete geocache, container, logbook, swag, and a coin. So tell me, have you ever won anything in the geocaching event raffle? Want to find out all this and more? Come to my website, cachingnw.com, and follow me, the bad cop, on Twitter.
Well, tonight we are talking about Geo Woodstock that just happened this 2 weekends ago, and you know, Daryl, I guess it was last weekend, wasn't it? No, 2 weekends ago. It was 2 weekends ago.
2 weekends ago,
yes.
Yeah.
I'm losing track of time already. You know, I didn't get a chance to go. It was too far for us. And, you know, with the new baby, we didn't get a chance to get out there. But, you know, you were out there. The bad cop was out there. There are lots of great things from what I understand happened out there. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I can tell you a lot more about it. And this was only my second Geo Woodstock that I've been to, both of them on the West Coast. So the nice thing now is I have all of my West Coast states filled in there.
Nice.
But this was a little different than the last one I went to. Better in some ways, and you know, I like the other one better in others. But this one started out with the day before had the Ape Cache that I'm sure people have heard a lot about. They had the special event around that. And the Luau, which actually was like a pre-registration event. And for anyone who's looking to put on a big event, this is something that you really want to look at doing. The pre-registration like that makes it a lot less congested the day of. When you've got, I think they were calling for something like 3,500 geocachers to show up at the event. Think about trying to process all of those people in, you know, checking them in, get the name tags out to them, get them all the bags of swag and everything else. That's a lot of work. So by having that, you know, pre-event, it means people can check in early. They get all their tickets, all their swag, get their t-shirts or coins and everything, and it's done. You don't have to deal with probably half the people because they're going to show up early. And they had a lot of fun with that as well because they set up a little kind of like a little cash run letterbox cross kind of thing where you had to go around and stamp it and you turned it in and you got a special tag from, now I can't remember who it was, one of the vendors, Oak Coins actually. they set up, you know, just a quick, easy little, you know, run around the park and get it. It's great. The next day, though, is when the big festivities hit, and boy, was there a lot of people. And I was really glad it didn't rain because that's one of the things. Unfortunately, the weather really wasn't that bad, but it didn't really cooperate with us. It was overcast, looked like it was going to rain a little bit. I actually got a little bit of rain as I was walking around before open because I got there early trying to check out the vendor tents. Now, here's my problem is that I spent the entire day going up and down the vendor tents trying to make it all the way down. I think by midday, I made it down to Sunny and Sandy's tent. The team podcaster had about halfway down was their tent. And that's all the further I made it by lunch. Hung out with them for a while, kind of, you know, chilled out, took a break, went back, got my food, came back, and all of the other tents were swamped. You know, I really wanted to hit a lot of the GPS vendors because we had Lorenz, DeLorme, Magellan was there, and Garmin, all of them, you know, so pretty much all of the big guys that you can think of in the handheld GPS markets were there. You know, I had to spend some time talking with Chip, and Bad Cop fortunately got some audio that we'll hear a little later on about the PN60. I wanted to spend some time with the Magellan guys, checked out the Tough Case there, the great unit, talked with them a little bit more about the Magellan Explorers GC, talked with the Lorenz guys. It was the first time I actually got my hands on any of the Endura series.
Yeah.
And I have to say that they're looking like pretty good paperless caching units. The little bit I spent playing with it, though, the performance seemed to be lagging. So I hit them up trying to get a review unit in to actually see what these are like. And, you know, it's nice to have some competition out there. And these guys are giving everyone else a run for their money. You know, we've got four guys now in the market really competing, and all of them seem to have some great products. So, you know, I had to check out the Garmin tent and see the 62 and the 78. Nice looking units. And, you know, there's stuff that I like and stuff I don't like. And, you know, if they had the Where I Go support in those units, I'd be much happier. But, it works. It's, some good stuff.
Now, from what I understand, there's no official attendee count yet, but if you were to give a ballpark, how many attendants would you say were there? How many people were there?
You know, I really don't know. I know that we had sent out quite a few of the lanyards, and they ran out of the lanyards. So based on that guess, I'm going to say it was over 4,000 people. I'm thinking it's probably closer to 5. So my rough guess is somewhere around 4,500 people.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Now, you did mention about all the GPS makers that were there. It is really good to see a lot of, like you mentioned, people creating GPSs for a lot paper, you know, having the competition with the paperless. You know, from what we've seen, it's been the new units that are coming out have been really great for paperless. You know, I can't wait to get my hands on some of the newer units and check them out. I know that you've had a chance to play with the with a couple of those units, and you know, I'm really excited about what we're going to see this year in units that have paperless caching abilities.
Yeah, and it's getting better and better. These guys are investing so much in geocaching, and I'm really excited to see that. You know, as much as some of us might not like seeing the geocaching specific units with little cards about what geocaching is on the big box store shelves, think about it this way. That means these companies can now invest that much more money in making better geocaching products. You know, with just a small niche group, you can't invest a lot of money. So by having all of these people getting involved and getting out there and buying, you know, even these little $200 units, well, that's another, you know, $5-$10 maybe that they can dump into the development of the next one.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you did mention the DeLorme PN60 that Chip and the Bad Cop had kind of had a chance to check out. We did get audio from the Bad Cop, and he was out on the field with Chip using the unit. So let's go ahead and hear that.
I'm walking with Chip from DeLorme. We are using the PN60W with the spot locator And we're heading to a cache to drop off the...
It's the second Eartha 3D geocoin to be released into the wild.
And so as a test of the unit, we're going to send out a message from the spot to see who will come out and find this coin first.
Yes. Yeah, we released one in Maine in the Bears in the Bushes on Wednesday, and this is Friday. We're at the meet and greet, and we'll be dropping off the second coin, and we'll be posting to the DeLorme Twitter account, DeLorme GPS, the location of the cache so that people who are following us can type it into geocaching.com and hustle out and try and be the first to find.
Sweet. Now tell me something about the PN60. It's a brand new GPS for DeLorme.
Yes. Yeah, this is our latest in the PN series of GPS devices. The major new functionality that we're announcing with the PN60W is that tie-in with the Spot Communicator and the functionality that it offers for lots of different users. The geocaching tie-in is the ability to log your geocache find while you're in the field, so you can type a short message and send it directly to the geocache page.
And for us geocachers, that's huge.
Yeah, we're excited. I think I see our trail up ahead. We're excited because you get to, like we said, you get to log your find and send it up. You don't have to go back to your computer to announce that. So we have that, and I think the other big feature that we're going to be talking about this weekend is Topo North America 9.0 has the ability to automatically download all of your pocket queries and from geocaching.com, display them in Topo on the screen, and synchronize them with the GPS device.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is cool.
So I think, in the cache part.
Well, we'll pause and pick up when we're closer to the cache.
Okay. Let me just get to my...
Okay, we just made the find, and that DeLorme GPS led us right here.
Yay.
All we have to do is trust the GPS.
Yes, definitely.
Go ahead and pop the top on that.
You hold that, I'll take the top off. Okay, we'll drop in the Eartha 3D geocoin.
And that's a fabulous geocoin, by the way.
Oh, very good, thank you. And let's see, a couple of operations. I'm going to hold on signing the log so that I can set up to send my message using the Spot Communicator, and so that I can show you the process, I'm going to choose Menu, Log Your Geocache Find, and I'm going to say Found It, because we did.
We did.
And I'm going to write a little note here, and I'm going to say, typing into the PN as we do this, while a mosquito chews on my elbow, Found. And then using with, found with PN Spot, and I've, oops, sorry.
That's okay. We all do it.
And then, great. And exclamation for excitement. Found with PN and Spot. And I have checked at the bottom, send to Spot.
Mm-hmm.
And my auto signature, Chip Noble, Team DeLorme. And I will say done. And it's asking if we want to find the next closest.
Mm-hmm.
But what is happening is the Spot Communicator is now sending that message. And when we look at the device, we're about to see all the lights flash yellow. In a second, there it goes. And so our message has gone to the Aloha Cache at geocaching.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to actually take us to the Spot Communicator page just so that we can see. It says sending a check-in.
Okay.
And when we look at it, it gives the cache ID, YGCTWA5, found with PN and Spot, Chip Noble. So that message is going up to geocaching.com. It's gone one of three.
Okay.
And the next piece that we're going to do is actually send a message to our Twitter account, letting them know that we released a geocoin.
Into the wild?
Into the wild. And for that, I'm just going to go back to the
There's a convenient bench nearby. Maybe
bench,
we should sit and
bench,
wait
I
to
like
see
that.
How quickly people take to get here.
Yes, let me sit.
All right, and that's all we're going to hear of that this week. Any guesses on how quickly someone actually came and found that cache? And did Chip and the bad cop ever just sit there and wait for him? But, you know, we'll hear that next week. But, Daryl, back now to Geo Woodstock and the 10-year event. Now, you did attend the 10-year event afterwards, right?
Oh, I did, yeah, that was the next day. But why don't we wrap up a little bit with the Geo Woodstock first. And Bad Cop and I, along with Sonny and Eric from Groundspeak, were on a panel hosted by our favorite Cash Advance entrepreneur. And we just talked a little bit about social media in a nice little tent and, you know, got some good questions and whatnot. But overall, I like a lot of what they did with this Geo Woodstock. You know, we have next one and it's going to be with totally different crew, because what they do with the Geo Woodstocks every year is hosted by a different crew. You have to put together a bid to get it, then you get it and you run with it. So it's really cool because every year is a little bit different. Everyone passes down their knowledge of what they've learned, what they picked up. And it's, you know, it's just really nice to see these things change a little bit year to year.
That definitely sounds cool. And I wish I could have seen the panel that you guys were on.
Yeah. And we were talking maybe about trying to do a Ustream thing for that, but ended up not really doing anything. For one, unfortunately, there was no kind of amplification. So we were kind of shouting and it was interesting. You know, look how Lisa's up there with Sonny's little small megaphone that he uses for his events and shouting and talking. But, you know, one of the other interesting things, though, with any of these Woodstocks that I've been to is there are really no hotels near the venue. So you have to drive. You know, in our case, it wasn't too bad. We stayed at really the closest suburb near the thing, which is 9.6 miles as a crow flies to the venue. And it took us a good half hour to get there over the nice, windy, hilly roads. And next year, have you looked at the event in the hotels yet?
No, have not.
I was taking a look. We have already got our room booked. We're already set. We're locked in. And we're going to be there. I want to say it's 12 miles drive from there, from Warren to the fairgrounds. So it's not going to be a hop, skip, and jump. But at least this time, it's all a highway between the two. So it's not, you know, it's not an interstate, but it's a highway. So at least it shouldn't be quite so bad.
And KJ Cashers in the chat room says, "Good luck finding a hotel room next year." So apparently, there's not a whole lot in the area right there.
Yeah, I was taking a look. Groundspeak's page listed 4. I think when I was looking through Google Earth, there were 6 hotels in the area, and a couple of them were the small mom and pops, which is why they didn't, you know, show up. Now, the other problem is you don't know with some of those hotels that show up on Google Maps, because they might not be inns. They might be, you know, like a bar and pub kind of thing.
True. So,
yeah, next year is going to be quite the challenge. You know, I kind of wonder, looking at it, if they're not going to have some kind of camping on site. But it's Allegheny Forest is like right next door to them.
Mm.
So that's one of their big pushes. I think it's going to be a great event. They've already got 600, I think, will attend logs on there. And I certainly haven't done mine yet, but I definitely want to check this one out and see what it is, because this is going to be my first one on this side of the Mississippi. You know, both of mine have been on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Now, and I can drive to it, so maybe I can bring the studio. I don't know. We'll have to see. I've actually reached out to the committee, so you know, we'll find out if they're interested in having a podcast track.
It sounds good. Now, you did attend the event that was the 10-year event, and we talked briefly about that. I think it was the last show when we talked with Jen from Groundspeak. Now, how was that event? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Oh, that was so much more than I had expected from it. They actually set up their own little street carnival there, street fair kind of thing. They had a dunk tank, and you know, they had a bunch of the reviewers. And Jeremy, when we first got there, was a guy in the dunk tank and was tweeting about all kinds of photos and videos that had been posted about him in the dunk tank and getting all wet. But they had some great geocaching 101 kind of stuff for the new guys. They had this really cool scavenger hunt, which I'm actually holding the game pieces in my hand. They just gave you a list of clues that you had to run around and, you know, figure out where it was. And then they had a groundspeak person. So really, you know, we just followed the train of people.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in Fremont, which is this really quirky little community in the Seattle area. That they, you know, they proclaim themselves center of the universe, and it is center of their own little universe, and it's in, you know, in a good way, in my opinion, you know, very kind of artsy, trendy, cool, but you know, not the you know, Starbucks, you know, made up kind of stuff. You know, I'm sure Bad Cop could tell us a lot more about it, and hopefully will. You know, it's just a very cool place because they've got all kinds of weird stuff, including a troll that lives under a bridge, a giant troll that's actually holding a real VW. And that was one of the stops that you had to get this set of little like coin kind of things,
mm-hmm.
put them together on a little keychain, and they have the landmark on the one side. And then when you assemble it, it's a Signal the Frog on the other side.
Nice.
So you got to do that. And if you completed it, you got a little bit of a, trackable kind of tag that's special to the event, not a special icon, but you know, still, you know, to get a little trackable for free is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the easy one, but we actually did a much, much harder one that was hosted by GeoTeaming. That was really cool. And I did do a little bit of a blog post about it, man. The 4 hours that this event was running was not enough time to do this thing by foot. Fortunately, they published the cords to everything beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't drive on the 4th of July through Fremont at all. It was nuts. You know, it's foot traffic. Half the streets seem to have been closed. You know, it certainly wasn't half the streets, but they closed down whole sections of the town because of the fireworks,
mm-hmm.
and all of the parks along the riverfront, and Groundspeak's right on the river there too. You know, very nice office, I have to say.
Cool.
But I'm
looking forward to get out there sometime.
Yeah. And it, you know, we got to log the headquarter cache, which is an actual like treasure box cache. Problem is, we didn't get to see the headquarters because, you know, there were, you know, 4,500 people there. And they just can't have that many people traipsing up to the second floor of the building they're in. But the geoteaming event is really cool. They did an awesome job with the caches. You know, certainly the stuff wasn't built to be out there for, you know, days on end, or, you know, probably would have survived. But they just did a nice job with it. It's 10 caches, each themed for a different year, and kind of gives you some background on caching as you go through. You know, starts out with you know, the disabling of selective availability, you know, landmarks like Where I Go. They had a CETO one, and just some of the containers were, you know, nothing to you know, really write home about, that they were super creative. But all of them had definite creativity that went into them. Certainly not the average kind of cache, more than you're going to find on probably 99% of the caches you're going to find out there. So very nice. Took a long time. Happy to have completed it. Boy, was that exhausting, though.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it also meant we didn't get to spend a lot of the time down at the street fair portion. And certainly, you know, I wanted to connect with some of the Groundspeak folks like Jen, whom I've talked to a few times and never had the chance to actually meet face to face, except I did meet Jen face to face in Canada. But, you know, get to meet some of these people. And they were all working and all of them were swamped. So I, you know, I just didn't have the chance to sit down and chat with some of these people I really would have liked to.
Well, it sounds like you had a good time out there, and thanks for for sharing. You know, it makes me kind of wish that I could have been out there.
Yeah, you know, I'd love to have you out there. As far as I know, it was just, Bad Cop, Dree and I and Sunny and Sandy, who were the podcasters representing out there. Mm-hmm. So, it would have been nice to have a few more.
Yeah, well, hopefully next year we can make it out.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and I'm hoping that we can set up that podcast track next year and get a bunch of us out there and really, have a lot of fun hosting podcasts, do a CRT, do a geocaching podcast. And, you know, we just love doing the live geocaching podcast anyway.
Yeah, it's so much fun. And hopefully we get to do another one this year anyways.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think we're probably looking at trying to find some place in Toledo. So if anyone's in the Toledo area, you know, let us know. And, we'll work with you and try to get some venue set up and some times and see what we can set up.
All right. Well, we want to thank you guys for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Then we want to thank Lisa from Cache Advance for sponsoring this episode. Join us each Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. You can call our voicemail line, 206-3503-GPS, anytime and leave us a voicemail. Have a safe week and happy caching.